It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. From Jingle Bells to White Christmas, holiday songs are everywhere this time of year. Pop culture contributor Joe Woes is with us now here in Studio A to share stories behind some of our favorite holiday songs. Joe, good to see you.
Always nice to be here.
You know, people oftentimes don't fully know or even remember what the lyrics exactly are. You know, one horse open sleigh. Some people think it's slope and sleigh. Things like that. Lyrics get confused. Meanings get confused. You're here to clear up all of that for
yes,
us.
Yes, that's why we're here.
So, all right, what was Christmas like? According to your research, you claim Jingle Bells could be regarded as the first pop Christmas song. Why is that?
Yeah, because before this time, Christmas songs have strong Christian overtones. I mean, that's what the whole point was. They were celebrating the birth of Christ. So, you know, these songs being sung, you know, in churches, and they are very, very religious in their tone. Jingle Bell comes along, and it's just it's a secular song.
Christmas
It doesn't
song.
Mention Christmas. And the reason it doesn't mention Christmas is because it was actually meant to be a Thanksgiving song.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's meant to be a Thanksgiving song. And what happened, it actually became a popular drinking song. People would sit around and start drinking. And so then it became associated with lots of different holidays because you were just gathered around drinking. The song would be sung. And slowly it became this Christmas song that is probably, you know, one of the most recognized when you think of holidays. Little kids know it. We all know it.
And those are the lyrics that are generally easy to remember. So what was Christmas music like before Jingle Bells?
I mean, before Jingle Bells, there wasn't a lot of Christmas music outside of churches. And even churches, they were being sung in Latin. You go back further, the church didn't even want Christmas music. They didn't want this music because it was
Why?
Just to them, it was superficial. It was taking away from the religious side of this. It was taking away from that just the seriousness. They viewed it as just sort of a distraction.
And some people just wanted to lighten up.
Really, if you look, one of the first to sort of lighten things up was St. Francis. He wanted to put on these nativity scenes. He wanted to bring the idea of the celebration of birth of Christ to the people. And so he would allow them to sing songs in their own languages and really changed a lot of that.
You're saying St. Francis was a partier.
St. Francis was a partier, much like the current Francis.
Well, one of the most popular songs heard at this time of year is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. How did this song originate?
Well, this song actually started out when you had these department stores that would distribute free books for the holidays. They would just hand these out. And, it was decided that what they wanted to do is something a little bit different. And one of the department stores, Montgomery Ward, went in-house and said, let's do this here. Let's see what we can come up with. And so they put together this book of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the book went through the roof. They were handing this out. People were asking for more and more. They went through 2 million of them the first year.
So this is what year?
This is This is the 1940s. This is 1947.
So a lot of us were mistakenly had the notion perhaps that that song emerged with the television special in 1964. It's 50 years ago.
Yeah,
it's before that. So the story was out in book form. But the song, who looked at that story and then said, we need a song about this?
Well, what happened was they were looking at sort of what was happening in other art forms. You know, the radio was just so popular. And they sort of thought, you know what? This could be interesting. Let's see what happens. And so the actual original writer of the book, the copyrights fall to him. He actually gets the copyrights back and he goes, wait a minute. I'm not going to make money off this book anymore because they already own all the print rights. How am I going to make money off this copyright?
I know. I'll write a song.
I know. I'll have my friend write a song. His brother-in-law actually writes a song.
Oh, really?
And they take it to Gene Autry and say, hey, we got this great little song. You've already done all these, you know, great holiday classics like Here Comes Santa Claus. Why don't you record this song? And Gene Autry immediately said, no. It's just a lousy song. I don't like it. It was Gene Autry's wife who said, you have to record the song. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song.
She gave him some good advice.
And he went back and said, okay, I'll do it.
So he did it before Burl Ives.
Yes, yeah. Gene Autry did introduce so many popular holiday songs. Here Comes Santa Claus, Rudolph, Frosty, Up on the Housetop, and even Peter Cottontail for Easter.
Now, tell us about the Pittsburgh connection to some favorite holiday songs.
You have a couple ones. Jack Rollins, who wrote Frosty the Snowman, was from Kaiser, West Virginia. But when he set out to seek his fame and fortune in Hollywood, he had a stop along the way, and that was working in a glass factory right here in Pittsburgh. He then met up with a carnival touring, and that led him to New York. And then via New York, he finally made it out to Hollywood. Probably the best one was Jay Livingston, who was one of the composers of Silver Bells. Jay Livingston was a Pittsburgher, and Silver Bells was influenced by, you know, the downtown Pittsburgh experience. You know, he had a little bell sitting on his desk, and that triggered a memory. He said, you know, they used to have these Salvation Army bells tinkling on the streets, and so they named the song Tinkle Bells. To which his wife said, don't you know what the word tinkle means? And so they had to change the name to Silver Bells.
And the rest is history. So while Christmas by White Christmas by Irving Berlin is one of many songs written by Jewish Americans who did not, by the way, celebrate Christmas, and yet those songs are enduring classics. So what do you attribute the success of songs like White Christmas by Irving Berlin, too?
You know, Irving Berlin in particular had a particularly sad association with Christmas. His son had died at 3 weeks old, 1928, on December 25th, and he would visit that grave every year. And so he had this deep sense of longing with Christmas. And he said he, you know, felt very much as an outsider growing up Jewish, you know, in New York. And that's sort of what is brought to this. There's this sort of outsider feel to it, of wishing you were a part of it. You know, have yourself a merry little Christmas, you know, White Christmas, Little Drummer Boy even, Silver Bells, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Blue Christmas. These are all songs that sort of have this underlying sadness to them of feeling like an outsider.
In 10 seconds or less, do you have a favorite Christmas song or holiday song?
Jimmy Durante's Frosty the Snowman.
There you go. Joe Woese is our culture contributor, telling us about the history behind some of your favorite Christmas songs, one of which we're going to go out on. You might recognize this, Joe. Thank you very much for listening to today's edition of Essential Pittsburgh. And you can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.